Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco with us on the line from down in Fort Lauderdale. Your calls coming up in the second hour tonight. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Jaguars win in London, 34-31 final over the Bills. They had a 27-3 lead in the second quarter and let it slip away, but then rallied in the end for a touchdown with just over 2 minutes to play to take the lead for good, 34-31. We'll break it all down tonight. T.J. Yeldon with a big game. Telvin Smith with a big game defensively. Blake Bortles didn't look great, but then drove him down the field when he needed to in the very end. All that coming up. But the most notable thing, guys, first off, good evening, Tony.
Pete, good evening.
How you guys, Pete?
Good evening. You're getting all prim and proper coming back from London. Well, good evening, everybody. Yeah. I'd like to invite you for tea and biscuits. Is that who you are now?
Tea and crumpets.
I guess so. It rubs off on you, Pete, while you're over there for a few days.
Not on me, it wouldn't.
Have you been? When was the last time you've been over there?
No, never been. Never been to Europe.
You should go for a week of one of the games one time. Like back-to-back games or something.
There's a thing called work that kind of interferes with that.
Yeah, but that should be part of the work. Like, go over there and cover some games or something.
I'd love to. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different scene, of course.
I mean, judging by all the pictures you sent me on your messages here, Baselli had a lot of fun, but most of it was going in his mouth.
And I was
going
to ask, we had a bet into last week.
No. He wouldn't make the bet. Pete would not bet me. I challenged
it. The reason I wanted to bet you because it was the easiest bet in the history of mankind. You probably didn't even make it 2 minutes onto the plane without putting something in there.
No, I did. I made it a few minutes on the plane. I made it like 3 hours on the plane, maybe even four, until they brought the hot cookie brownies with milk.
I warned you about that. Yeah, I warned you.
And that was the end of it. And then once you had one of those, that you just said, forget about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, we didn't bet. So I'm like, I'm not going to deny myself
you
with this pleasure.
Tony, the bet, just a dinner bet would not have prevented you from.
Yes, it would have.
Not judging by the pictures that JP sent me.
And it was bad. It got really bad, Pete, last night on the flight back home because it was almost a 9-hour flight, 8 hours and 40 minutes. I don't sleep on the planes at all. And I got really – I was watching movies, and then I'd walk around, and I started eating peanut M&Ms, and I ate cookies, and then I had to, you know, just loaded up. I couldn't stop. Candy bars.
Tony, if there's a picture that JP sent me of you sleeping in the back of a car or something,
I sent
that out, you look like you, first off, it's a bad picture because you're not that heavy, and you look like you weigh 600 pounds
huge.
In the picture.
Yeah, it's not very flattering.
You look like a guy. First off, you got a giant head, and in this picture, you look like you have a little head because of that big body. It's just weird.
Yeah.
How I feel about 8 weeks into the season.
Yeah, I was
fat ball season.
I was did not sleep on the way out either. And stayed up all night. Had not slept for almost, 20 hours or what it was. And we had the long bus ride. And it was just a slow, traffic-filled bus ride. And by the last 10 minutes, I was fighting it. And next thing I knew, I was out. And Mike Perkins, my good friend, decided to take a picture and pass it.
Not a very flattering picture of you.
I don't care. It's all in fun.
I know you don't. It's funny. It is funny.
Some people get all, offended and sensitive about stuff like that. I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, I mean, I thought it was pretty funny.
Hey, let me tell you. If I had been on that plane, the candy bar, the brownie, everything else would have been right in the trap, too. Come on.
You're stuck there.
Don't act like you didn't.
Oh, I had my share.
I had chocolate cake. I mean, I got to the point where it was like bored eating. I wasn't even – and then they brought breakfast. I just had eaten candy, and they're like, here's breakfast. I'm like, might as well. Pancakes. I mean, it was ridiculous.
You know why? Because it takes – you think if you're going to eat for 20 minutes, at least it'll kill 20 minutes of the flight.
Exactly right.
Yeah, eating for sport and for time's sake. That's what happens on the airplane. Okay, so the Jags got back here at Everbank Field around 3 a.m. today, and the players have today off. They'll be back tomorrow for the media availability and the review of Week 7. Let's get to this game, 34-31. Jags had a 27-3 lead. The defense in the second quarter, three consecutive turnovers, two scores in a seven-second span, and then the interception by Posluszny set up the Yeldon touchdown. This is something that the defense has been looking for all year. They've said they'd come in bunches. They finally did in that second quarter, guys. those turnovers, Pete?
Well, I said it beforehand, before the game. On the Jeff and I were talking. I said, listen, EJ Manuel will throw the ball to the wrong guy. He stares down his target. I'm convinced he makes predetermined pre-snap decisions before the ball's ever snapped, where he's going with the ball. And if you're in good coverage, he's going to throw it. He's got to make plays, and they did.
Yeah, and look, for a team that hasn't had any turnovers, takeaways, that's a good thing to start the game with. I mean, they got them in bunches, and you know, that's a good thing to happen to a young football team. And in the end, it was, you know, it saved the game the way it was. So, yeah, that's, you got to get those, and they hadn't been getting them. They haven't, you know, still don't. They rarely take the ball away, particularly interception-wise, but I thought yesterday was better from a lot of standpoints, and there was still lots of ugly, like, I know they got four sacks, but still not a good pass rush.
Well, they got sacks because they brought pressure. I mean, they did something that they historically have not done since Gus Bradley became their coach, and that's blitz a lot. And they
I want to see, Tony, I want to see him blitz a veteran quarterback a lot. Let's see if that plays out.
But Pete, that's what you've been telling them to do.
I agree. I think they did the right thing. But again, don't, if you're going to do that against EJ Manuel, go do it, you know, against a good quarterback.
Well, in 2 weeks, I do it again against Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then I do it the week after that against Joe Flacco, and I do it the week after that against Marcus Mariota. So for the next 3 weeks, I do it.
I'm with you. I think you got to do it.
It worked out on the first turnover. Aaron Colvin got the sack fumble, and then Chris Clemens scooped it and scored.
He played well, by the way, Aaron Colvin. Just from
he had a good game.
Yeah, he's a good player. You know, we always talk about, I ask you sometimes, Tony, where are the building blocks on that
defense? He is a building block.
He's definitely a building block. He's a darn good player. I think Telvin Smith's, you know, had some ups and downs, but I think he's a building block. But I think in Colvin, you have yourself a heck of a corner over there.
How about Telvin? 9 tackles yesterday, 2 for a loss, 3 passes defense, the interception for a touchdown, his first score in the National Football League.
Listen, Telvin's a he's a good football player.
He dropped another interception.
He did drop an interception. He should have had it. He's a good football player. Has he had some bad games where he looks lost at times, sometimes gets sucked up on the play-action pass, and he's running around trying to get back into his coverage? Is he still learning the feel where he needs to be in the zone, kind of feeling those the routes behind him, understanding what people are doing? Absolutely. I still think he needs to get a little bit bigger, but he's a good football player. He can run. He's aggressive. I mean, he's a great athlete. I mean, he's a building block on this team.
He is, and when you can run like that, and, you know, you heard Belichick talking about him early in the season when he was talking about him running like a safety. That the speed in the game is so important nowadays, and he can cover a lot of ground. I think, like you said, Tony, for a lot of those games, like he was almost trying to do too much and instead of just playing his position. And I thought that's where he got into some trouble, but he's talented. He's another building block for that team. No doubt, that defense.
And another guy who's so up and down this year is Jonathan Cyprian. But he had a good game. Came up with a huge – coming off the block and forcing the fumble on LeSean McCoy on a big hit. Had some nice coverage. You know, Pete, the more I watch, and we have said this, and I'll give you credit, you brought it up probably even before I did, he's the in-the-box safety. When he's in the box, he's pretty dang good. And if they can get that true free safety – he could really, I think, play more snaps where he's comfortable.
Yeah, and he's a better he's a much better tackler in the box. I still think he has to learn how to quit going for the big hit and wrap. I think that's a problem from center field for him. Not just in pass coverage, when he's in space, he's got to learn how to wrap better. That, to me, I think he sometimes goes for the big hit. And you saw that a couple times even yesterday. You got to wrap, and he doesn't do it well enough. But he's their Camp Chancellor, Tony. I mean, I'm not saying he's that exact same player, but let's just say they had signed McCourty, then you drop him down, and then all of a sudden he's a different player. So, yeah, it's hard to find a free safety, but I know there's one in San Diego by the name of Eric Weddle who's going to be a free agent after the season.
How much football does he have left?
4 or 5 years. 3, 4 years, yeah. If you're going to make a run in the next couple of years, that's the kind of guy you want back there.
We'll break down the offense in depth coming up, including the short yardage situations for the Jags. But let's start with the quarterback here. 13 of 29 passing, 182 yards, the 2 touchdowns, and the ugly interception. Statistically, a bad day for Bortles, but in the end, got him down the field in that last drive, overcame that horrible turnover.
Yeah, it wasn't his best game. He had 2 big plays called back early. where maybe it would have changed a little bit, the rhythm he was in and how he felt. They were called back because of holding penalties.
Yeah, a couple of third down penalties, too. They
converted. Yeah, they were big plays.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Bills played a lot of man, and they did a good job for parts of that game. They doubled Julius Thomas. They basically said, we're going to take him out of the game. And Blake was not his best. But what I loved about the situation and about the entire game, and people aren't going to maybe like this as much, the fact that it went down the way it did, I think, is better in the long run as far as them losing the lead and having to come back than if they would have just blown out the Buffalo Bills. Because it was a very tense situation. There was a lot of pressure, and everyone felt it. And the way Blake Bortles, on that last drive, got back there and just took him down the field, made plays with his feet, scrambling, the big play to Allen Hurns, which was an amazing catch. That's stuff that builds confidence, because now you've done it. Now you've been in that situation. I thought that was pretty – it was a really good good feeling. It was almost remarkable, the fact, because in the stadium, JP, tell me if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Everything was going against the Jaguars at that point.
Downhill.
Oh, you just felt like
– spiral.
It was one of those games, Pete, where you just like – there's nothing you can do to change the tide. It's just – it's out of control. You've lost the control of the game. And Blake went out there that last drive and got it done.
Well, you could have kicked the field goal and gone up 17. You would have.
You still would have been down one.
It doesn't matter. No, it's game flow, Tony. It's game flow. You go up three, they pack the bags and
Pete,
go back
home. We already argued this point. We disagree.
But give me a – and here's the other thing that – okay, two other things about that bother me. Yeldon not being on the field.
I agree with that. I'd rather have Yeldon out there.
Okay. Two, the third part of it that bothered me actually is why are they so insistent on bunching everything up when you get inside the five?
Pete, I'll just say this. They should have scored on the first two plays.
But Tony, yeah, I know, he missed the hole to the right, huge. But, Tony, I'm not just saying the Jaguars, but every team in the league. As an offensive lineman, tell me, is it
– Yeah, no, I like it because you see the yard. Listen, as an offensive lineman, I just said, let's line up. We're going right at you. Just come right behind us.
But can't you do that if you spread them out too?
As an offensive lineman, if you get more space, you can't be as aggressive because now they're in space too. And coming out off that hard, you know, can create a little bit of issues sometimes when you're in space. When everything's bunched up, it's more physical and downhill, and you're just coming off the ball.
Yeah, it was a numbers game. If you spread everybody out, you might have the numbers to
no. If you spread
more space, right?
Well, yeah, but the other thing you got to remember, guys, if you spread them out at the 1 yard line, those safeties become linebackers.
Is the edge a worry when you like if you want to run to the right, the backside edge is hard to block because
if you get spread out, now it's a shorter distance. He can come down and make the play from the backside.
I still think too many teams are stubborn that way.
I'm just telling you, the other thing is those safeties become linebackers, so now they're at linebacker depth in coverage, and everyone's right there. And sometimes you don't have enough men, you don't have enough guys to block them.
But Tony, if I get two receivers to the left, one to the right, and flex the tight end out to the right, and that's four, and okay. I have one back. 5-6, and then I have my five linemen. They're going to have four out there.
Okay.
The two safeties are going to have to cheat over a little bit.
Yeah, but they can be at 4 yards cheated over because they don't have
well,
that much.
Well, then that means you're going to have single coverage. You can run a pick play on the outside. You can do – I mean, they're going to have man coverage over
I
there.
I understand and, that, but at the one-yard like line, it's just more difficult. Now, at the three or four, it's different.
You're 1944 football.
I know. You're so progressive, Pete. I wish I could be like you.
No, I'm not. I'm a lot older than you, and I'm a grandpa, but I'm still progressive when it comes to football.
You're so progressive. I wish you could just enlighten me and what to do. I'm surprised they haven't called you in as a consultant at this point.
You know what? A lot of these coaches could call me in as a consultant because I'm pretty darn good when it comes to game flow and game management, and they blew it yesterday. Should have kicked the field goal.
Nope, I
100% kicked the field goal. And what's the rationale for not kicking the field goal? Because you want to, like Frank, you want to show who you are and who your identity is? Well, your identity is you had three shots on the one and didn't get moving inch.
Let me tell you why. The reason is because the entire – listen, where I agree with you, I'd have kept TJ Yeldon in there. He's running great. You're gashing him. Just put the pedal, you know, foot on the pedal and keep going. The other thing is, if you don't get it like they did, you have E.J. Manuel, who's throwing the ball to you a number of times, inside the one-yard line, and the defense blew it 2 weeks in a row, giving up scoring drives when the team started at the one. My thought process is you get a three and out, you get the ball right back if you don't score inside their territory.
And my thought process is you kick the field goal, you go up 17, and you send them packing home on the bus, period.
Okay.
I don't know. I just look. You agree with Gus, so you know what? I'm probably wrong, but
I'm just telling you before Gus or anyone ever did anything, I said on the radio, I would go for it.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Who makes the decision to take Yeldon out of the game and put Gerhardt in?
It's a personnel grouping. That's their short yardage personnel grouping. I mean, I guess it'd be Greg Olsen. I mean, he's the offense coordinator making that decision.
When you were playing.
I used to disagree every time they took Fred out. I never agreed with it.
Right. It makes no sense to me. It's overthinking the game that doesn't need to be overthought like that.
And all you have to do is watch T.J. Yeldon run. He might be more powerful than Toby Gerhardt.
He finishes runs better.
We'll come back in just a moment, break down this run game a little more. Also, plenty left to get to on the defensive side of the ball as well. Get ready for the bold rush. Come to Thursday Night Football at Everbank Field, November 19th. The Jags face the Tennessee Titans. Use your ticket for entry to the tailgate featuring a live concert, craft beer fest, and the NFL Network pregame show. For tickets, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Welcome back, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco on the line from Fort Lauderdale at CBSSports.com studios. Jaguars Monday continues. Your calls coming up in the second hour tonight. The Jags win 34-31 over the Bills in London yesterday, and they're now 2-5 heading into the bye week. Of course, before the break, guys, we're talking about this run game. T.J. Yeldon yesterday, 20 carries, 115 yards, the 28-yard touchdown, which was he broke a tackle in the backfield, broke another near the goal line to get in there. This is all coming in a week where he was questionable to play with a groin strain, comes out there and plays probably the best game he's played so far.
It is the best game he's played. And listen, T.J. Yeldon's a rookie, but he's a pro. He's already a pro. He just knows how to play football. He's a good blocker. He's a very talented runner. The one thing he lacks is probably that top-end speed, but he's so shifty, so smooth. He has power. And I give him a lot of credit playing, and he's doing what you have to do in this league, learning to play through nagging little injuries. And missed last week, which obviously was a smart move because of the groin, and giving him that extra week, travel over to London. He was, I believe, questionable all week, if I'm not mistaken, JP.
Yeah, he was out of practice Wednesday and then did practice Thursday and Friday.
And had a heck of a football game. I mean, he really has really good vision. And what is impressive is he can go side to side, and when he plants that foot and he finds a crease, he has some nice acceleration and gets going pretty good. And the offensive line stayed on blocks. It wasn't always clean at the point of the attack, but they stayed on blocks. And one guy, who's not offensive line but had a good game was Nick Jacobs. He did a good job at the tight end position.
Here's the thing about their offense. They got the potential to be really, really good in a couple years, or even next year. I mean, they have the pieces. You have the runner. You have the quarterback. You have the tight end. You have two big play receivers, even though, their numbers are darn good. They don't actually run that well on the clock, but they're playing like it. And you have, a good young offensive lineman in Linder who's not playing. And, Can will be the left of the other guard.
I'll tell you what, A.J. Can played well against Marcell Dareus. I mean, think about who A.J. Can's played with. The first four, he starts in Indianapolis first game, correct? It was his first start. They don't have anyone great up front. Second start, Tampa Bay, Gerald McCoy. Pretty good player? Yes. Second start, J.J. Watt. Pretty good player? Yes. Third start, Marcell Dareus. Pretty good player? Yes. And he played well all 3 weeks.
I mean, J.J. Watt wasn't on him a lot, but he was.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying he's there quite a bit. Not, I mean, as much as anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, Can's a tough kid. He looks like he has the look of a tough. I don't know if he's going to be great in pass protection ever, but he's got the look of a tough, good run blocker.
He was good on Sunday against Marcell Dareus.
Well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to do you a favor and call up your favorite site and see how they graded him for you.
Let's do that next segment. I can't handle that right now. But you're right, Pete. They do have the pieces. I mean, the one thing you like to add, and maybe it's Marquise Lee if he can get healthy, is that, take the top off receiver as your third guy. But they're, I mean, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, man, they are really progressing and just making plays.
A-Rob yesterday had a couple of key catches in that game.
The one on the back shoulder throw that Blake Bortles.
Bite your tongue.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking. That's jet lag right there. Holy cow. You know what it was? I was just reading an article on Pro Football Talk about the 49ers and the Kaepernick issues there. And so
Blaine. Some coffee in here for him.
I need something. But anyways, Blake Bortles, the throw that Blake Bortles made and the Allen Robinson catch on that back shoulder throw. First of all, I don't know what made Blake Bortles throw that ball. Because Allen Robinson was covered. And he threw it by, I believe it was Darby's head. And somehow Allen Robinson catches it. I don't know how he ever saw it. I mean, it was great concentration, a heck of a, you know, gutsy throw. And it was a big play.
Yeah, Robinson, and we kind of expected that from Robinson, particularly where he was drafted. I think the biggest surprise and best story on the Jaguars is Hurns. And I thought he dropped the ball on the sideline yesterday. He should have caught when he slipped down. Remember that one?
Yeah.
But he looks like a pro.
He is a pro. He's another young player who's a pro. Understands how to play.
But he looks like it, Tony. The crispness of his routes are getting better. The whole thing. He's starting to look like – you know, he started to look like a pro, and that's a good group of guys. Two good combo receivers there. They do lack the speed guy, but, you know, eventually, who knows? Maybe Marquise Lee will find his way onto the field after the bye week.
But, you know, the funny thing is, both Hurns and Robinson find their way behind the defense somehow. I mean, they're not the fastest guys. But Allen Robinson on a clock ran faster than DeAndre Hopkins at Houston.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good receiver.
He's not a burner either.
But he's a pretty good receiver.
Yeah, and, you know, you can get behind guys and not be just a flat-out burner if you know how to run routes.
That's
right. And I think those two do. Tony, I got to ask you a couple things. The interception that for a touchdown that Bortles threw, it looked like there was a mugging in the middle of the field on the TV tape.
Yeah, it was, but the ball was so overthrown.
Right.
That I don't think they're going to call pass interference there. Because there was no chance Allen Robinson. Maybe they could have called holding, maybe.
Yeah, there was some kind of contact
yeah,
down there.
But I don't think.
It was a bad throw.
Yeah,
I mean, A-Rob's on the ground, for goodness sake. It's not like he just got bumped.
But
you know?
I agree. No, I'm not. I get that. But if they'd have called holding, fine. But it wasn't pass interference.
There was some kind of contact
yes,
there at that. Because I
was.
Couldn't really tell on the TV, and it looked like it was.
Yeah,
I'm
there
sure
was.
The
but it was just a bad decision by Blake. They brought an all-out blitz. And I don't know if he thought maybe he had zero coverage. He's just going to throw it up and didn't see the single high safety. I don't know what it was. He had a little bit more time than he thought probably even. But they brought all out, and he was going to get hit in the mouth. And it's one of those just take the sack.
You know, were there any snap-off routes on the other side or something that were open?
Because, no, nothing else. No,
there was nothing.
It was man
else.
Coverage, and it was good coverage by the Bills.
The other one I wanted to ask you about was – the pass interference on the game-winning drive looked questionable, like it wasn't.
Okay, when I first saw it live, I was like, "Ooh, they maybe got one." I saw the TV copy, and he definitely contacts them. And then on the all 22, and I can't remember what Bill defender it was. Definitely, it would have been a great catch for Walters to make. I'm not saying he makes it; it would have been a great catch, but he never had the opportunity to go for the ball because clearly. A full second before the ball ever gets there, the Bills defender runs through Walters and knocks
it. It was Roby.
Roby. It was, I mean, so it's the right call technically, yes.
We'll come back in a moment and discuss this Jaguars defense a bit more and the win yesterday at Wembley Stadium.
And I will, by the way, JP, yes. I will get Tony angry on the next segment.
Oh, I can't wait. This is always a fun part of the show when you go to some certain website and we grade offensive linemen. That's coming up. You'll never miss a Jags kickoff when you ride the JTA Stadium Shuttle. Service begins 2 hours before the game and runs until 1 hour after the game ends. The JTA Stadium Shuttle, your ride to Jaguars action. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick. Tony Boselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco in Fort Lauderdale at the CBSSports.com studios. Jaguars win in London yesterday against the Buffalo Bills, 34-31. Pete, you have that site. You ready to make Baselli angry, or is this the time for that?
You know me. I'm good at that. With
we've got about 5 minutes to make him angry here. What we got?
All right. Let's start with the left tackle.
Okay.
Luke Jokel. You might have heard of him.
How'd you think, Tony?
He's playing against a really good football player in Jerry Hughes.
Right.
I thought he was good, not great.
They think he was good, not great, too.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Solid.
Yeah, I thought he was good. He gave up, got pushed back, I think, twice on bull rushes, but other times he was sturdy against the bull. I mean, a couple times he stoned him. I thought he was good in the run game. I thought he was a good game. It might have been his best overall game of the year because of the caliber of the player. I mean, Jerry Hughes is a good football player now. Holy cow. I'll tell you what. Whatever money they paid Mario Williams, they should give it all to Jerry Hughes because Mario Williams, whatever, I mean, if that's what a $100 million D-lineman is, I mean, my goodness. I mean,
all right. Let's go to Jeremy Parnell.
Okay.
Right tackle.
How do you think?
Oh, you're asking me. Oh, you're waiting for me. I thought he was good, too. He got Mario Williams got one sack, but it was not his fault. He stones him. Blake has to move and tries to step up. And Parnell, that the turf was bad at Wembley. It was slick. And Parnell slipped. Just his feet came out from underneath him. And so at that point, Mario Williams is unblocked and kind of just jumped on Blake for a two-yard sack. So
yeah, and they kind of gave that one to Bortles anyway.
Yeah,
so.
And so I would have said good. I thought Jeremy Parnell was good.
He's a little behind Jokel in overall. He was better in pass protection, but not as good in the run game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're splitting hairs. I thought they were both good. I thought both tackles played well.
All right, let's go to center Stefan Wisniewski.
Just solid, not great. You know, sometimes it's hard, and this is why I don't like what Pro Football Focus does, because it's hard to tell who is supposed to, if he slid the right way, or because they got beat one time, and I think they missed. I thought he was the way it looked like they were making the call. It was his guy, but I'm not sure of that. And so some of those are hard for the center position to really tell whose responsibility those guys are. So I'm just going to say just average, you know, solid game. Not good, but not bad.
They gave him a good grade.
Okay, and I could see that. I mean,
him a good grade in the run game, a really good grade in the run game, and average in the pass game.
Okay, I'm not going to quibble with that. It's okay.
All right.
You're
Zane
agreeable
Beatles.
Tonight so far, by the way.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. Zane Beatles.
I don't think he played well.
And they gave him a minus, too. They gave him a minus in overall. They gave him a minus in pass blocking, and they gave him a minus in the run game.
Yeah, I don't think he played well.
All right, AJ Cann.
I thought he was good.
In what? In which category?
Both. I thought he was good in both. He got the one time he got the guy got an edge on him in the pass, and it messed up Parnell on a twist game. Outside of that, and again, I don't know if it was Wisniewski's fault or his fault on a blitz one time, who was supposed to get the guy. But overall, I thought AJ Cann played well.
The lowest ranked offensive lineman on the Jaguars.
Yeah, they're idiots. They're idiots.
All right, minus three. Okay, no. Beatles was minus 1.4, the lowest. Next lowest, he's double that.
Minus
3.1.
No.
Okay, in pass protection, minus 1.6. In the run game, minus 1.7. They credited him with three quarterback hurries.
I'd have to go back. I don't remember that. I'll have to go back and look at it again.
But just from – you don't grade it on a play-by-play basis, but just from watching the
I mean, I don't sit there and go minus, plus.
Right, but from watching the
– No, no. AJ Cann played well. My goodness. I thought he was good.
And see, that's why I would believe the eyes of a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame who played the position rather than somebody doing a plus, check, minus on each
– on a TV copy.
Right. It's almost impossible to do on a TV copy. You watched the 22? Correct?
Yeah, I watched all 22 last night on the way.
Yeah, it's just
how do they do that?
I don't know, but I'll tell you the rest of the offense. They gave Robinson a big plus grade. Allen Robinson. They gave Hearns a plus grade.
Yep.
They gave Yeldon a plus grade.
Yep.
They gave Julius Thomas a slight minus grade.
Yeah, he got doubled a bunch. So
they gave your boy Nick Jacobs a minus grade.
And blocking? They
run blocking, they gave him a little bit of a minus.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
They gave Mercedes Lewis a plus grade. And
I thought they were both good. I mean, Nick Jacobs, he stood out to me. I don't know what they're looking at.
All right, should we try the defense?
Well, hold on. What about Blake? What did they give Blake?
Blake got a minus.
Okay, yeah, for the entirety of the game, if you looked at everything, I mean, it's hard not to argue with.
Not a major minus, but a minus.
What'd they give Toby?
Whatever it is, it's not low enough. Minus.
All right, let's go to the defense.
Am I wrong about that? Whatever it is, it's not low enough?
Let's go to the defense.
Wow.
All right. This probably will get you even worse, I bet. I'm sure there's some guys on here that you watch the defense and you're like, oh, my God. All right, Jared Odrick.
I thought he was solid. I thought he held the point. I mean, I thought he was solid. I mean, he does not rush the passer very well, but I thought he was solid at the point of attack.
Minus.
In the run game?
Minus in the run game.
Yeah, yes. I don't think so.
Roy Miller.
If he's not a plus, then I don't. They're
major plus.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is playing great football this year. I mean, great football.
Tyson Alualu.
Just okay.
Minus, big time minus. They said they had a bad game. Pass rush minus 8 and the run defense minus 2.3, which is low for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get the sense he was terrible.
Chris Clemens.
Yeah, he didn't do much. He had
the return for a touchdown.
Return for a touchdown, and
but I could have picked that up and run with it.
And yeah,
minus, he bobbled it too.
Big time minus, minus 1.7.
Okay.
Scooter.
I thought Scooter was good in the run.
They gave him a mini minus in the run and a major minus in pass coverage.
Yeah, again, there's one that I don't know. I thought they were in cover three, and I thought it was Grotz who should have carried the guy, the tight end. I thought Scooter had the flat, but there was some confusion there, and I don't know who was at fault. If Scooter was at fault, then, yeah, I understand what they're saying.
Puzlesny.
He had a pick.
Yeah.
I thought Puz was good. Not great against the run. I think he, in the past this year, he's been really, like, almost great against the run. I thought he was just good.
Real, they gave him a plus grade in pass coverage, obviously the interception factor, and a major minus grade in the run game.
Yeah, I wouldn't say minus, major minus. Yeah, I don't.
Maybe. Kelvin.
He's got to be plus everywhere.
Yeah, plus is all over, right?
Plus, plus, plus. Yeah. Yeah, well, he was minus in run defense.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Big plus
that's
in
dumb.
Pass coverage.
That's dumb.
Okay, Dwayne Grotz.
It has to be a minus.
Major minus.
Yeah. I don't think he played very well.
Jonathan Cyprian.
I would say a plus.
Plus. Plus 2.3, plus 1.4 in pass coverage, which is – yeah, so Aaron Colvin.
Has to be a plus.
Highest-rated defensive player.
Yeah, he played outstanding.
2.3 in pass coverage, highest-rated P. Okay, and then Andre Branch.
Has to be a minus.
Major minus.
Yeah, he didn't do much.
Senderek Marks.
I'd say a plus. Only because –
barely a minus.
I'd say
barely.
Because on the third and – Less than a yard on the quarterback sneak, he blew that thing up. He gets on a gap player in between the center and guard and beats everyone off the ball and shoves EJ Manuel short, which then should have been a fumble. It was a terrible call by the officials on the Chris Clemens coming in and knocking it out. They said it's forward progress to stop, but no one blows the whistle, no one comes in, and if he rolls out of that and lunges forward, I guarantee you they give him the first down.
And one last guy,
yep.
House.
He didn't have a lot of reps. I'd say average. I'd say zero. Like
major
a,
minus. And well, two major? Guys, actually. And Josh Evans.
He was out of the game a
yeah.
bit with a shoulder stinger.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But Josh minus. Didn't stand
minus.
Out.
Yeah, minus. It's not. You can see clearly, though, where they have the major weak spots, though.
Back
deep
in the moment.
They were better this week. They were better this week. So I'm not as mad, but some of them. The whole premise of them watching a TV tape and trying to grade players when they don't know the scheme, the call, the assignment, or anything else is asinine to me.
I mean, the game
and then
was,
people use it as a basis for
as
how they
gospel.
Grade players in the league.
Yes, it's stupid. If I was the GM, I would. If someone brought me, if I was the GM of a team and they said, "Well, I'm Pro Football Focus," I'd say, "Take Pro Football that rating system and you know what."
Back in a moment, more Jaguars Monday. You and your kids could have the best Halloween ever. Enter the Halloween with Jacksonville Sweepstakes for your chance to have Jackson trick-or-treat with your kids in your neighborhood. Visit jaguars.com/Halloween and enter for your chance to win. More Prisco and Baselli in a moment. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday. Your call's coming up, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Be interested to see what the pulse is tonight, Tony.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So,
yeah, you sound so interested. Yeah,
I can't wait. So we're going to get into the injury report here in a second.
It's very short from the game.
But what about, you know, big injury? How about Arian Foster, Pete?
Is that the end of him? That's the question.
I think so. I think those Achilles are the toughest thing to come back from.
Particularly for a running back,
if you're an
right?
explosive player.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
an offensive lineman can come back from it, quarterback can come back from it. But if you're an explosive player, man, I think that's tough.
Plus, he's 29. He's turning 30. I mean, you know, that's, you know, you hit that mark as a running back, and that's always tough, too.
Boy, and that, yeah. How about, I mean, that Texans team either wins a ball game or gets blown out.
Oh, man. 44 zip at half, right?
I mean, what happened down there, Pete?
The division's enough to make you puke, by the way.
Hey, I like it. We're one game out of the first place.
Andy's a train wreck all of a sudden,
but it's by far and away the worst division in football.
You think?
It's the NFC South from last year.
You know,
no, it's not. It's worse than the NFC South from last
really?
Year.
Really?
I think it is.
Really? No, it's not very good. You know what it's like? It's like the NFC West the year that Seattle won it at 7-9. Right. Remember how bad all those teams were?
The only potential is that the Colts start picking it up and Andrew Luck starts playing better because he's not playing very well right now.
Pete, you know, I was thinking about this last night, and then you're going to give me Captain Sunshine here. But the Jaguars are, you know, 2-5.
Right. I know what you're going to say.
Easily should be, at worst case, if nothing else happens, you make a 48-yard field goal, you're 3-4, right?
And in first place.
In first place. So that didn't happen. They missed the field goal, which I think we'll get into this. I think I would guess there's a kicking change over the bye.
Think so.
I think so. And I'll tell you why later. But the Jags go to New York Jets, which is actually a team that matches up good for them because they're a running team. They don't have this great quarterback, and the Jaguars play pretty decent run defense. They have the Ravens at Baltimore, who are awful, have no identity. Trestman is, I don't know what they're doing with him at offense. And then they got the Titans here on Thursday night. And I know you guys take one at a time, and it's the cardinal sin, and this is what people like Pete like because you look ahead, and I'm looking ahead, something I don't like.
Uh-huh.
It would not shock me at all because I've been more positive than anyone else, you know, around, even in the losses, because I see the progress and how this team is getting better. You could wake up in 4 weeks and be 5-5 very easily. The New York's the toughest game. The Jets are a good team, but I like the matchup. Is a matchup that the Jags can win a low-scoring ball game.
And the flip side of that is, you want to carry it one step further, is the Colts go to Carolina, they get the Broncos at home, and then they go to the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, they could win,
wow, yeah.
Go 1-2 in that, and you could literally have
they
a two.
They could go 0-3 in that.
Or 0-3. You could have a 1 or 2 game lead in 4 weeks in the division at 5-5.
Now, the Buccaneers will come in and they'll beat the Bucs up there, but, right, but then they go to the Steelers, and then they come to Jacksonville. So,
I mean,
the game
is
on December 13th.
Is it that unrealistic, what I just said, happening?
Well, I don't think they're going to – no, it's not, because the Jets will be – you're right. The Jets will be the toughest battle.
Pete's
a little Captain Sunshine now.
No, I'm just,
no, that, no, they're not a good football team, but that doesn't mean they can't win the division.
No, that's what I'm saying. Pete – disagree me if you, I mean, obviously you will, because you do all the time, but the Jets are the matchup that's what the Jags want. A team that doesn't have a very good quarterback, relies on the run game, and doesn't score a lot of points.
I agree that's but that's also the Texans, and they lost to them.
Well, looking back, I think that's, I'll say this, and everyone can say it, that all teams can say this, which they can. TJ Yeldon plays that game, it's a different ball game.
Couple of injuries from the game yesterday. Of course, no official word from the team today. The team was off today. Gus Bradley will speak to the media tomorrow. Josh Evans had a shoulder stinger, but actually came back into the game.
Tough kid. Might be the toughest guy on the whole team. Josh Evans might be the toughest individual on this football team.
Alan Hearns?
He's probably, might be second. Those two guys.
Alan Hearns is second?
Josh Evans is a tough dude. Josh Evans is a guy. I'm not saying you want to be your starter, maybe, but Josh Evans is a guy you want on this team for like the next 8-9 years because he's tough and he's reliable to be on the field on Sundays.
Zane Beadle's foot sprain is what it was called during the game. Came back.
He was in
the
a
ball game.
Yeah. So.
So we'll see moving forward. The official word on those guys coming up tomorrow from head coach Gus Bradley. Your calls next. Get ready, Tony. I know you're pumped.
I'm always ready, JP.
355-NFL-1-355-63.
It was interesting. My Twitter was much quieter. Or more quiet. I guess quieter is not a word. It was much more quiet. Is quieter a word?
It is, Tony.
Quieter.
Quieter is a word. Quietest. Quieter. Okay. I always get confused if quieter is one of those words that's either it takes a more before or if you can do the ER at the end.
We'll come back and discuss.
Thank you.
More Prisco, more Bocelli, more English when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Bocelli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale at CBSSports.com studios. The Jags are 2-5 headed into the bye week. On the road the 2 weeks after that. And then back home for Thursday night football. Tony, you and I were talking during the break. You were ready to make a proclamation about something here, right? Or was I mistaken in that, since you're hesitating?
No, I was just saying, we brought it up. I'm sorry. I got a question on Twitter about what was our record in 1996 at this time. Now, I'm trying to go back.
Pete would know.
No, well, you were 4-7.
Yeah, we were 4-7.
3-6 at one point. Gosh, I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
So I'm looking at it right now. So we won Pittsburgh, then we lost the next three. Golly, that was miserable. 1-3, then we beat the Carolina Panthers, which was a big win. So we were 2-3, lost at the Saints, a game we should have won. We were 2-4, beat the Jets, 3-4. So we were 3-4 at this point. Then we lost the next two. We were 3-6, beat the Ravens, 4-6, lost to the Steelers, 4-7.
So at this point, you were what?
We were 3-4.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, but
which is what this team should
people
be.
People got to quit looking at that.
No, yeah, I don't like the comparison.
It's a totally different, animal.
The only thing that was similar is that it was a young team, had more veterans, though, clearly had more veterans.
We had more veterans and more guys who had been played at a high level, I guess. I mean, I guess not. We had Natron Means, who had been, you know, top back in the league. We had Leon Searcy, who had been played on a Super Bowl team. Our receivers were really young. Tight ends were – but defensively, I'm trying to think defensively, we really didn't have much either. We were a ragtag group, though. But defensively, you know what we did have? We had a pass rusher in Tony Brackens, who could really create havoc.
Yeah, and they don't have anybody close to that.
No, Tony Brackens was a great player.
Plus, you also had Clyde Simmons.
Oh, yeah, Clyde, another guy. I forgot Clyde. Clyde was another guy who played in big games and on great defenses and big
teams. And Loggeman would be – if Loggeman was on this Jaguar team, he'd be the star pass rusher.
Yeah, Loggs was a good player. He'd never played in the playoffs before, but he was a veteran guy who had success. Yeah.
Right.
So my proclamation was
– yes, you're ready to make a proclamation, Tony.
I said last week we'd win, right? I guaranteed it. Did I not on the Monday Night Show?
I believe you did, yes.
Guaranteed
That's
victory.
Right. You guaranteed it.
This team will be 5-5 in the next 4 weeks.
That's another guarantee?
It'll be 5-5.
You heard it here.
Is that a guarantee, Tony?
Did it come out of my mouth, Pete?
Yeah, but you say, oh, they might be 5-5, or they could be. You're guaranteeing they will be 5-5 in a couple weeks.
The guarantee is a big word.
Well, then what are you saying?
They're going to be 5-5.
Wow.
How are you going to back that up, Tony?
I don't have to. That's the thing. I can just say things. It doesn't really matter. No one cares. No, but the bigger conversation is, and I'm just going to drive so many people crazy with this. I am convinced of this now. I believe that Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell are the right guys to lead this team and are the right guys to take this and turn it around to where it will be a consistent playoff contender. I believe that. I have very little doubt in my mind that those two are the right guys.
Well, let me ask you this. You guys were over there. Chad came out last week and said there's going to be no changes. But, you know, sometimes people look at that and they say it's lip service.
Not with Chad. Chad pretty much is a guy who does not mince words.
Yeah, and I was in the room when he said it. It was pretty definitive.
Yeah.
Seemed like.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know me. I didn't think there was going to be a change anyways. I nor should there be. I mean – particularly in the middle of the season. That makes no sense whatsoever.
No, I just think this team and is so hard, and I get why fans are frustrated, and we'll take calls here in a little bit. I understand the frustration of fans because the wins aren't coming. And ultimately, Pete, you and I agree on this. You're judged by your wins. And everyone in this building will agree. Gus Bradley, if he was sitting here right now, he'd tell you, at the end of the day, I'll be judged by the wins and losses of this football team. But with that said, with what the plan and what the from day one, what they were trying to do here, if you can't see the progress of this football team in the improvement over the last 3 years and the improvement that is happening throughout this year, then you're blind. This team is a team that is going in the right direction. I believe it has the right leadership. And while, you know, kind of joking, we said about the 5-5, it would not shock me at all if this team is 5-5 in 4 weeks.
Whoa, you guaranteed it.
No, you're backing away.
Ago. Okay, I'll guarantee it. Take that. I guarantee 5-5.
I like it. I think you're out of your mind, but I like it.
I do too. I mean, heck, if I was a player on this, I wouldn't say that. But
now, why wouldn't you say that?
As a player, because I know you think it's a cliche, but when I was a player, I never worried or thought ahead of what our record was going to be. I never did, and maybe it was because of that '96 season, because we were 4-7, and we just kept on winning. And I remember a conversation with Clyde Simmons. You brought his name up in the locker room. And we won, and we won again. And then all of a sudden, you're like, kind of. And he's like, let's just go win this week. Just win this ball game. Just, you know, take care of this week and just win. And not in the cliche way like a coach would, but just as a veteran talking to a young player. And so as a player, I didn't really look at the standings a lot. Maybe at the end of the year, you start looking at with playoff and everything else. But this time of the year is just like, just go play. Listen, we got to win this. Let's win this week. I'm not going to worry about next week. It never really crossed my mind as a player. Maybe some guys it does. For me individually, it never did.
Well, it should have.
I know.
I mean, don't you want to look a couple weeks out and see who you're playing in a couple weeks?
No, I was always aware. I did that in the offseason, Pete. When the schedule came out, I knew every defensive end I was going to play. I knew what week I was going to play and the caliber of player they were and what I needed to expect. The day the schedule came out, I looked at the schedule, who we were going to play, who the right defensive end was, and whether it was home or away, and whether it was a loud place to play or not.
I think you should tweet out your guarantee.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh. People
yes.
lose it. I can't. I'm not
do
ready.
It.
I'm not quite ready for the
do
Twitter.
Do it. It's going to be on the podcast archive anyway, so you got to do it.
Then I'll send it out and say you just guaranteed that the Jaguars are going to win their next what would that be? To 5-5, you'd have to win their next three, right?
Three in a row, yeah.
Next 4 weeks.
They're going to buy a three-game win streak after the bye.
I'm going to stack them up, baby.
Stacking them up.
I'm gonna stack
and you're
going to
tweet it out. That's what's going to happen, Tony.
I'm doing it right now.
First of all, you don't control my Twitter.
Well, Pete's going to put it out there, and we'll make sure it gets out.
My bigger point was in that whole conversation that I was having with JP is, in the commercial break, is I believe that these two guys are the right guys to lead this franchise. That Dave Caldwell from the GM of picking players and organizing, you know, free agents and drafts and everything else, and Gus Bradley as the head coach are the right guys to bring this franchise where it is in the playoffs every year and competing for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I just tweeted it out, so you're going to get a lot of response from it.
Nice.
I can't wait. Thanks, Pete.
Speaking of responses, let's open the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll start off this evening with Mac on the north side to discuss the first and goal situation. Good evening, Mac.
Pete Prisco, what's up?
What's up, Mac? How are you?
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Mac, before you go any further, I want to congratulate you. Good job of not kissing Prisco's rear end and telling him how much you missed the show from last year's past.
You're welcome. To
Good job. Welcome, Tony. Good job, Mac.
I kind of miss it already, though. You next week, you can come back to doing it again.
Hey, I like to win easy. I'm sorry. I'm not one of these guys. I want to kick them in the teeth. I want to kick an opponent when their head's down. My heart couldn't take that. I won 34-13. I want to win easy. And number two, I didn't have a problem with Gearhart failing three times. Kick the field goal.
All right. You are a smart man, Mac. You are a smart man.
listen,
I did.
Mac, I would if they would have kicked the field goal, I'd have been fine with it. And we brought it up on air. Jeff brought it up. We talked because all of us agreed we'd have gone for it. But we talked about it afterwards. If you kick the field goal, there's nothing wrong with that. You're up three scores and everything else. I just said in the way the game was going and where you were and how the Buffalo Bills had taken the control of the last part of that second half to come out, the drive they did, the last part of the second quarter, excuse me, the way they came out in the second half with that drive, I thought this is the time to put an exclamation point and score a touchdown. So I'm not – listen, if they had kicked the field goal, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Pete, going up three scores makes sense. I just think you make calls sometimes within the flow of the game, understanding where you are and what the situation of what is happening on both sidelines.
I'll give you another one because it's from another game, but it's Dan Quinn, who's from the Seahawk tree as well as Gus Bradley. He's got a 13-10 lead. No, 10-7 lead. I correct myself. 10-7 lead late in the game. He's got a third and one from the one, from the third and goal for the one, decides to go for it, hands off to the fullback, believe it or not, DeMarco.
What's wrong with Devontae Freeman?
But right. Anyways, okay, so he doesn't get it on that one. Decides to go for it on fourth down with three something left in the game.
I would have kicked a field goal there because you're playing the Tennessee Titans with, you know, their backup quarterback, and you force them to score a touchdown instead of kick a field goal.
I'm with you. I would have kicked the field goal to go up 16-10.
I would have, in that situation, Pete, without a doubt, I would have as well.
All right. What about – there was another one in the game. Which one was it? I'll think about it, but there was another situation.
All right, we'll come back to you. Let's get to the calls.
Darren in Mandarin coaching. What's up, Darren?
Hey, guys. A guy before me stole a little bit of my thunder. I'm appreciative of the win, and I'm not complaining about it, but signs of a young coaching staff are, you know what, when you get a snake underneath your foot, you stomp it out.
That's what they were trying to do. That's what they were trying to do. That's what they were trying to do when they went on for a fourth and one. They were trying to end the game right there and make it.
I understand that. But, Tony, you've said this many times, and this is an old cliche of football. I've played the game. But you don't leave point. You don't take points off the board. And, yes, I'm scared to death of our kicker to line up for an extra point right now, much less a field goal. So, I mean, yes, that's worrisome right now as well. But there was living proof that they took the throttle off on defense and offense.
No, they did not. They still blitz. Go look at the game. They still blitzed in the second half. The Bills did a better job of picking it up. They did not take the throttle off at all. The Bills, listen. When they got that stop, it gave life to the Bills enough, just a little bit, a glimmer. But really what gave them life is they got two big first downs immediately, and they were out at the 40 before you knew it, and they got that drive and got points. And the Jaguars turned around
like
and went
defense,
three and out.
It seemed like the corners and the linebackers all were like two or three steps further back off of the.
That's not true. I watched the game. That's not true. I watched all 22. That's not true. I do disagree with, and a couple of and Grotz in particular. I thought sometimes the coverage was a little too soft, especially you're playing the receivers that they had. I would have been more aggressive. And I don't know if that was the call they were in or they just, you know, were afraid to get beat over the top. I don't know why, but it was no different in the second half as far as the call of the game and the way the game was being called.
Pete, what do you make of all this?
I like being aggressive. I don't ever like backing away. Be who you are. But I thought they were fine yesterday. I have no problem with it whatsoever. By the way, the other situation, Tony?
Yeah.
Last night at the end of the game, you probably were...
I was on the plane.
Okay, they're up 7. The Panthers are up, yeah, to go up. They're up 8 to go up 11. They have a field goal at the end of the game, and 4th down and 3 with about 35 seconds left to go in the game or whatever it was. And Collinsworth and Michael say, don't kick the field goal. Try and get the first down because it's too risky to kick the field goal.
Wrong.
Kick the field goal. The game's over.
How long was the field goal?
30-something yards.
Oh, wow. Kick the field goal.
Of course.
What'd the Panthers do?
Kick the field goal.
Yeah, that's the right call.
Yeah.
Let's go to Elliot in San Marco to discuss this guarantee that you just made, Tony. What's up, Elliot?
Tony, if you will go on Twitter and make that, I will buy you a pizza. Just make the promise, just so I can watch
he
it.
He haven't touched
Please
that.
Please do it.
He went right to the phone, actually.
I'm thinking about it. Because I'm not...
it was, Because just watching watching people come at you at Twitter is, I'm sure it's not that much fun for you, but it's a blast for me.
I know you enjoy it, but here's my problem right now. I'm jet lagged, I'm tired, and I'm afraid. I try to keep a filter on it a lot of times, and I'm afraid the filter will be broken at this, the way I'm tired right now, and I'll say something I regret. So I'm trying to I'm trying to have self-control right now.
Hey,
I tweeted that. I'm getting a lot of your, I'm getting a lot of the people complaining about it already. So he said, this one guy said, I want some smoke out of that bowl.
I'm drug free. I no problem being drug tested right now.
JP's partner there over at the Jags Media, John Osher, had an interesting comment in his kind of his rundown, and it's sort of in regards to what you guys were talking about earlier about if you can't see improvement on this team, you're just not paying attention. He made the comment that the playmakers in that game this week were Colvin, Robinson, Hearns, Smith, Bortles, and Yeldon.
All draft picks within the last 2 years.
All second-year players, yep. and a rookie. And you could say A.J. Cann should be in that category as well. And you could say Brian Walters should be in that category because he's a guy they went out and got. And it continues to show up. There are and Scuda plays well. There are all kinds of spaces where they play well. Now, sure, there's still holes. But to say this team isn't vastly better than it was, they just got to learn how to win, which is a process. And, you know...
I think there was a big step in that direction last night or yesterday.
Why do you fire Pagano when Grigson isn't giving you any players?
No, that's a whole nother conversation.
Well, why do you fire Gus when Dave's giving you players that you've never had and Gus hasn't had time to build them yet?
And I think both Dave and Gus are doing a very good job, and I know the record right now isn't where anyone wants it, but it's a process, and I believe by the end of the year, we'll look back and say, you know what, tough start, good finish, and we are right on track to where we need to be.
It starts with that building, though, Pete. You got to build through that draft and progress these guys along as the years go on here. That's how it works.
And that's why I think the offense is going to be really good. In a year, next year, I think they're going to be really good. And now you got to build the defense. And if you can build the defense and spend some money on defense and get a couple draft picks on defense and get Fowler back, and then all of a sudden you look at the roster next year and you go, Because I think the offense is really good. Did you see that one stat today where Blake Bortles has thrown more touchdown passes in the first 7 games of his second season than all but 3 guys, I think it was. And one of them was Dan Marino.
Listen, look at the statistics. Last week there was a thing out between comparing Dez Bryant and Allen Robinson over the first 16 games. Was it 16 or 19? Whatever it was.
Whatever it was at that moment.
However, the same time period. And I think Allen Robinson had 20 more catches, had more touchdowns, same yards per catch than Dez Bryant. So if you can't see young players getting better and becoming guys that you – can count on to make big plays, then you're not looking.
Back in a moment, more of your phone calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Download the official Jags app and get access to once-in-a-lifetime game day experiences or exclusive seat upgrades at Everbank Field. Scroll down to the More Experiences tab. The Jaguars app available in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store right now. More Prisco, Baselli, and your calls after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
From the HennanyAutos.com studio, Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick with Tony Baselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale at the CBSSports.com studios. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's get back to the calls, guys. Jake in the South Side to discuss this team's performance. Good evening, Jake.
How you doing, guys?
Great. What's up?
Well, you know that the last drive where Blake Bortles threw the touchdown, that was like really – that was a really, like, good drive. I mean, that just showed basically what he's been doing since he was at UCF in college. He was doing the same thing for them. So basically, he's just getting better. He's going to get better because he's really good. And when you're really good, the cream always rises to the top. But another thing is that Buffalo really, I don't know what was wrong with Buffalo. I don't know whether it was the trip across the pond. They just didn't seem like the Buffalo that I had seen previously. I mean, this team is really, really good. It's almost scary good.
No, they're not.
And you, well, that's my opinion of them. And you just didn't see it. I don't know. I mean, they've been having a lot of problems with Rex Ryan. He's been holding the guys back on defense. They've been complaining. So, I mean, with this guy, Rex Ryan, he always starts off good. He's like a mad scientist. He always starts off good. And then for some reason, he always deflates his team with these little mental games. I mean, it's just, you know, it just seems like every team he goes to, he does the same thing. I mean, he makes them really good. They play, like, excellent. And then all of a sudden, they just start slumping because the guy is just kind of wacko a little bit there. So,
all right, we appreciate the call. Thank you. They had, what, 6 offensive starters out, right?
I thought it was 5.
5. Yeah. And then the defensive tackle was out. So that's 6 starters on both sides of the ball. Pete, when they're healthy, are the Bills scary good?
Well, scary good, no. But yeah. The biggest disappointment for me in the Buffalo Bills has to be the defense. I mean, this was supposed to be, and they didn't have Kyle Williams yesterday, but that's it. Basically, they have everybody else. And you're supposed to be a good, dominant defense. Rex Ryan's pedigree is defense, and they didn't play very well. And you have the lead, okay? All the mistakes that they made, they had the lead in the fourth quarter. And you have Blake Bortles and that offense taking the field, and you let them drive down the field to go ahead of you. That's on the defense. That's on Rex Ryan. So, to answer the question, no. Mario Williams, when you pay Mario Williams, Marcell Dareus, and Jerry Hughes the money you pay them, you're supposed to be dominant on defense, and they're not.
The Rex Ryan, actually, after the game yesterday, complaining about headset issues at Wembley yesterday.
Whatever.
Well, did you see what the NFL came back and said?
No, I missed that part. What?
It's on them. The batteries went dead, and it's up to the teams to replace the batteries.
I mean, come on.
There you have it. Jordan on the south side to discuss the defense. Good evening, Jordan.
What's going on, fellas? I'm sitting on my break of school. I just want to talk about how you were saying that the Jaguars might need to draft more defensive players next year in the draft. Well, I was wondering, like, if you have a job, and let's say your foreman's not doing, like, the best job in the world, but he's getting stuff done, would you necessarily fire him, but he's being efficient, even though it's not, like, complete quality work?
So let me just make sure I'm understanding you, Jordan. You're saying this defense is fine the way it is, you don't need to improve it?
Well, I mean, with all due respect, you got to understand, man, it's like, I want to say it's, you can't really always be changing, you know? I mean, well, I feel like the Jaguars for the last 2 years, 3 years, has just always been about, let's change this.
So where should they draft guys then? Where should they draft guys? Should they maybe not draft anybody?
I mean, it's the Jaguars. I mean, it's difficult. I heard Shaq Khan the other day saying he might move the Jaguars to the Philippines, man.
What are you talking about?
Oh my God.
Get that guy out of here.
He's gone. Yeah.
I mean, that's just stupidity.
Whatever. Can you imagine a game in Manila, the flight we'd have for that, by the
way? I've been to Manila. I have a football game there. I promise you that.
Holy jet lag. Let's go to Ron in Gainesville.
Jordan, congratulations. You have taken the lead of the worst caller ever on the history of this show. You can will receive no prize, but you can wear that label with pride.
Send him to the Philippines. Ron in Gainesville. Good evening, Ron. Hope you improve from that call.
How you guys doing?
Okay, great.
All right. I just want to talk about the improvement of this team and fans not taking a look at the big picture. I think Pete hit it right on the head. Last week we played Mario Williams, Marcell Dareus, and that Hughes guy. I think we only gave up 2 sacks. And with 7 games in, we've given up 19 sacks. This line is drastically improved.
Yeah, no doubt.
For the last 3 games, our offense has scored 3 touchdowns. I don't remember the year that we did that last. The job that Doug Marone is doing with this offensive line is incredible. And I think people just need to stop and look at the big picture. If you want to talk about draft picks, I think they need to get younger at linebacker and try to get some more speed in there, and that could help with some of their coverage schemes, especially them only running rush four.
Yeah, they need to get they need to get younger and faster on the entire defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you start. Where do you start then on defense if you got to get younger and faster?
Well, they have to start with a pass rusher to go with Dante Fowler. I don't think there's any question about that. That's first and foremost, get a pass rusher.
Yeah, wherever you're picking in the first round this year, I'd probably take the best. If there's a good I haven't paid attention to the college game yet as far as who's coming out and what positions are deep. But if there's pass rushers out there, that's what you pick.
You get a Boza or an Nemdichi from Mississippi, who's more athletic than Boza. But Boza, you know, was a really good effort, a high-intensity player. I mean, there are guys there. And, you know, as far as the edge rushers, I mean, I think if Fowler comes back and is the kind of guy that they think he's going to be, then that kind of solves that. I mean, that's why you drafted him, to be that guy. But you can never have enough of him. So go get another one or two or three.
Or if there's, or you know, another young linebacker who can run. You know, if
yeah, like the Jalen Smith kid from Notre Dame.
Oh, I mean, great player. The
kid's a beast. And but do you draft that guy in that spot, Tony?
If
you know
he's
what I mean?
If he's that good, if he's Bobby Wagner good, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's the possibility right there as well.
I mean, would you take Bobby Wagner with a top 10 pick or top 15 pick?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I take the pass rusher first. Okay. I take Michael Bennett over Bobby Wagner.
Okay, but if you had, if Dante Fowler is who you think he's going to be, do you then take a, you know, a Bobby Wagner type caliber?
No,
player?
I go get another body. I go get another body on that front to go get after the quarterback.
That's not, I mean, you could argue.
You can never have enough of those guys, Tony.
Yeah,
you can,
I agree.
Look,
with that.
I know. I love Bobby Wagner, and I think Bobby Wagner's a great player. Luke Kuechly's a great player, but the guys up front are what makes that defense, those defenses go.
I don't disagree with that.
Brad in Coppell, Texas, to discuss the Jaguars' head coach. Good evening, Brad.
Hey, gentlemen, I just had I just kind of want to get Pete's take on this. A couple years ago, you know, I'm an outside sales rep, so I listened to way too much sports talk to be healthy. And I was driving around, I was living in Denver at the time, and I listened to Scott Van Pelt, and he was doing his segment called I Want Winners. And he threw out, you know, saying the Jaguars would win this particular week, and he brought up a really interesting point. He said that he thought... He heard from Trent Dilfer that Dilfer's opinion, and I've never heard Dilfer say this on the air, but Dilfer thought that the Jaguars, whoever the coach replaced Bradley, would be great, but Bradley would be a great building coach. Do you think, I mean, Dave's super smart and picked that guy, you know, to be the building block and just, you know, kind of develop players and then get the X's and O's guys in place?
No.
And I'll take you guys comments off the air.
Appreciate no, I can tell you 100% no. You hire a coach because you think he's going to be the guy to build it and win it. And if he builds it and it gets to the point where it's supposed to be, then he's going to be the coach and he's going to stay for a while. If it doesn't get built and get to where it's supposed to be, then he's not going to be the coach. Bottom line, you hire the guy you think is going to have success. You don't hire a guy who's going to build the thing and then let somebody else come over and take over.
And by the question, you're basically saying Gus Bradley's not a good X and O coach. If I'm not mistaken, Pete, he was – the first defensive coordinator really took that Seattle defense from bottom of the league to a top-tier defense in the NFL.
And when he went there, Pete Carroll was one of those guys that had a lot of things in the playbook, and one of the things that I do know is that Gus is the one that said, look, Pete, you got to trim it down, you got to rep the stuff that you do well and continue to rep it and rep it and rep it, and that's going to be the calling card of defense. That was all Gus.
Yes, I think it's dead wrong to say he's not a good X and O coach.
Now, does he leave a little bit to be desired when it comes to game management for my liking? Absolutely. But he's a young coach learning, but he's got to be better at it. And he's not alone, Tony. They're all bad at it. I mean, to be quite frank about it, all the NFL coaches struggle with game and flow and clock management and situational coaching.
That's why they need to hire you, Pete.
Well, they need to hire somebody. Hire somebody that will tell you, do this in this situation, do that in this situation. And I know the analytic guys are in their ear at times too, but there's also game flow to be taken into account.
Which is why I'd have gone for it. Game flow.
No, game flow said kick the field goal, go up three scores, and send that team home.
You weren't there.
I watched the game, Tony. I know game flow. It said kick the field goal, go up three scores, and send that team home. They would have packed it in.
You don't know any flow.
Pete, what would you charge for your services, by the way?
For the right price,
as
I can be had.
As much as you can get.
For the right price, I can be had. I can,
Hey.
For the right price, Prisco, you could be had to do anything.
Pretty much. Yeah. For the right price, you can take my finger.
That's true. Back in a moment. More calls. Phone lines open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. More Prisco Baselli coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale. We're debating the price of fingers.
Hey, Pete, if you have 35 grand, you can have JP's finger.
35 grand?
Yeah. That's what we said.
Well, I said 50, and after taxes, it'd be 35, and he could have my pinky surgically removed. I wouldn't feel it.
Not for me. You're going to have to get into the millions to take my fingers.
That's what I just said. It has to be seven figures.
When do I use the pinky anyway? I need some, the cash isn't bad, you know?
When you drink, like the old Italian, the Italian guys, you always put your pinky out when you drink.
Well, I'm not old or Italian, so when would I use the pinky?
You look old.
Yeah, but I'm not Italian. We had that conversation.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah. We'll get to some more calls coming up. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. We'll also look around the National Football League coming up. Jaguars win yesterday 34-31 at Wembley Stadium in London, and we'll get to the Lions coming up. But, Tony, I mean, this is the team went over Thursday night, arrived Friday morning, walked through, then a walk-through Saturday at Wembley, all the stuff in town, game Sunday, boom, back here. I mean, it's like a West Coast trip all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was quick. Everything was quick except for the plane rides.
No, you're right. Yeah. 8.5 hours
it
over.
It was 7.5 over, 8:40 back.
Do you think that's a good way to do it, go over that at that time like that?
Yeah, because we won.
No, but I mean, seriously. Do you
as
think
a player, yes. If I was a player, I'd want to get over there as late as I possibly could so I could stay within my routine as much as I possibly could.
How about on your body, though? Once you get on the field, that kind of goes out the window?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, I remember, yeah. I don't think it's – like, I remember the closest thing I ever did was the West Coast trips. I remember the first year we went out on Friday. We were there 2 days. And after that, maybe one other time we did that, and then the rest of my career we just went on Saturday. And I prefer just going out on Saturday. Just because I don't want to go out early. You're sitting in a hotel. There's, you know – I just thought it was too many distractions for me.
I'm with you, Tony. I think, I don't go to the, you know, I haven't got Super – I go to the West Coast, and I have to go in Super Bowl, and I've gone, you know, for playoff games and stuff. And I just think if you go one day, yeah, it's tough, but it's not like you got to hang out in the hotel and adjust to sleeping in a – you know what I mean? There's so many different things. Just like when I come down here, I'm here for 3 nights, and it's not a long trip, but you're just out of your routine. And I think that's where
you're living out of a suitcase. So going over there a week. Now, as a non-player, I mean, I had fun the 2 years. So my wife came out. It's like a little mini vacation. You go to London. I mean, it's a great city. There's a lot of fun to do. The people of London are great. So, but I'm not playing a game. I have no routine. I mean, it's no big deal. Time away from my 5 kids. I get some quiet.
Let's go to the phone lines. Kyle is in East Arlington. Has a question about the kicker. Hello, Kyle.
Thanks, guys. Tony, you mentioned earlier that there might be a kicking change during the bye week, but you never got back.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And before I get to that, congratulations. Great win. I won't say 5-5. I'll go 4-6 on that guarantee.
All right. I like it.
What's up with the kicker change?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up because I did say I was getting back to that and I forgot to. I don't have any inside knowledge of saying this. I just think the kicker change is coming because when I'm doing the radio and if I have a pit in my stomach and I have no confidence that the extra point's going to go through, then how do the head coach and the GM feel? I mean, that's 2 extra points. There was no weather. There's no nothing. You just – missed it and missed a game winner, which I was like, okay, young kicker, too long, or the game winners will learn to do that. But when I start sitting there and I'm worried about making extra points, I think you got to make a change. I mean, the kid has a great leg. He's great on kickoffs. I'm not saying he can't do it in this league, but sometimes it takes a couple different times for kickers to figure it out, to get that confidence in just in the game situation. So, I mean, that's just
me. So what do? You go get a veteran kicker and put him on practice squad or something?
I mean, yeah. I don't think you have to put him on practice squad. I mean,
just cut him?
Yeah, I probably would.
I mean, there's so much change in kickers all the time, and some guy gets hot and he ends up, I can understand that. He doesn't look like a confident kicker right now.
No, I mean, Pete, am I wrong? If you're worried about making extra points, that's a problem.
Go. Yeah, you got to go. Look, they tried it. They thought he had the big leg.
Which he does. It's a huge leg.
But you got to be able to make this. Put it through the uprights. Doesn't matter how big your leg is. You got to put it through the uprights, and you have to put it through the uprights when it matters.
And I would have done the same thing they did when they kept him, because he's a young, explosive leg. He had a very good preseason, great camp. And at this point, it just
– I'd
make
that,
the change.
You would have done that based on where they are in their growth right now. You might not have done that if it's a year later or – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're trying to build something. So if you think you got a 10-year kicker with a big leg, you take that chance. But if they were in a team that might be competing for a playoff spot at some point, which they thought they had no idea they would even have any chance to do that this year, nor did anybody else think that, then you go, if you did, then you might go with the veteran kicker. But as it is, they went with the young kicker, and it's not. You can admit a mistake. It's the best thing to do when you're a GM is to admit a mistake and not hold on to it.
Yeah, don't make one mistake and compound it with not changing because you don't want to admit you made a mistake. So that's my reason I do it. That's why I think it will happen. Again, no inside knowledge. I don't know anything. It's just my sitting there yesterday when he missed. I had a pit in my stomach every time. And the thought, I was sitting there. When the game started getting close to fourth quarter, if this comes down to us having to make a field goal, I was like, oh, gosh, I don't know if I can handle it. I'm not sure my heart's strong enough.
Here's the question. Other thing, too, you know what that reminds me of? And you guys probably agree with me. It's like when you have a guy on your roster who has explosive speed at the wide receiver position, but he can't catch. You almost hate to give it up, because you always sit there and think, oh, well, this is going to develop, this is going to develop, this is going to develop. And you have this kid with the big leg and the powerful leg, but you don't know if he's ever going to develop, so you almost hate to give it up, but you almost put yourself in a position where you're forced to give it up.
We'll hear from Gus tomorrow, but do you think that had anything to do with going forward on fourth down?
No.
They can make that with their eyes shut.
Okay. Well, you'd think he'd make the extra point pretty much.
Yeah, but the extra point's further than that field goal now.
No, it is. It is.
You got to – no. Gus wanted to do what Tony and Frank said. He wanted to set a tone or whatever and show that they're tough, big guys.
No, that's not what I said. No, that was what Frank said. I said I would do it based on the flow of the game and where you were after the way the second half ended, after the way that drive went. That's why I would have gone for it. It had nothing to do with toughness or ego or anything else.
Looking at it from
like
my
that.
Side, they had said, what they have, a 9-minute drive to go get down there?
Yes. Almost 10.
Right?
Yes. 9.5,
so
17 plays.
You're sitting there thinking you can drive the ball and eat the clock, so why not go 3 possessions and put it, kick the field goal and go up 3 possessions?
Pete, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying in that situation.
But I am saying you're wrong.
And that's fine. And that's fine. That's your prerogative. You want to be a jerk? That's fine. I'm just saying, I would have gone for it. And guess what? If I was that coach and gone for it and didn't work out like it did, someone else would be sitting here on this radio show right now saying I was wrong.
Probably me.
We'll come back in a moment and look around the National Football League in Week 7. A handful of undefeated teams still out there. Thanks for the calls tonight. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
From the HenneneAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Briscoe. Let's look around the National Football League. We're having a good time on Monday night, as we always do. Week 7, the Seahawks defense finally showed up and beat the 49ers 20-3. Are the Seahawks back, Pete?
Well, they look like they're back, and the 49ers
are
really...
against the 49ers, it's not
right, the 49ers are really bad. The Seahawks have to go to Dallas this week. That's not going to be an easy game, even with the Cowboys struggling. But look, Michael Bennett might be in the defensive player of the year conversation. That's how well he's playing.
How many sacks does he have?
He had 3.5 last week, and I think he has seven or eight on the season. I mean, this guy's he's really playing good football. And they're not. I don't think they're back, but that's a good way to get going with the schedule that's kind of favorable the next couple weeks.
Hey, Pete, what about what happened in Detroit today? I don't think I can ever remember a head coach firing the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach, including the assistant offensive line coach. I mean, major shakeup.
Yeah, and you know, that's a coach who's scrambling to save his own butt, right? I mean, isn't that what he's doing? That's what it looks like to me. Jim Caldwell firing Joe Lombardi and the offensive line coach, and they named Jim Bob Cooter is now the new offensive coordinator. He'll be the guy calling the plays. So, yeah, weird situation. I mean, he saved him a long trip from to London. They're going to London this week, right. So he fired him before that.
They're on the plane right now, I think.
I mean, you can see maybe the coordinator, but, man, firing, I mean, a large, important part of your staff. I guess they had Ron Prince, who was like some sort of special assistant on the offense side.
Remember, he was here a few years ago.
He's an offensive line guy, so maybe they felt like they had the guy in the building they wanted.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's a desperate move by a desperate coach.
Is Jim Bob Cooter the best name for an offensive or any coach in the NFL?
Yeah, and has had some weird things happen in his past, by the way.
Like what? He's only 31 years old, right?
He's been arrested a couple times. One time he got in bed late night with somebody he shouldn't have. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. Go read it. You'll see.
He used to be in the SEC, I think. Tennessee, maybe.
Let's put it this way. Some of the stuff that he was at Tennessee. Some of the stuff he's done is worse than driving through the drive-thru naked.
Oh.
Well, there you go. The Redskins rallied past the Bucks, 31-30. Kirk Cousins, 3 touchdowns, 317 yards through the air, and a couple extra words to the media running through the tunnel last night.
You know, it's funny, after he did that, Brady Quinn, who I work with down here, sent me the tweet with that picture saying, hey, he was yelling at you because I kill Kirk Cousins on a regular basis.
What did he say?
Who cares? You like that? You like that? He was yelling at one of the TV guys from up there. I guess it had been hard on him or something. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You know me, Tony. Back in the day when you yelled at me, I would have said, I'll like it even more if you can do it again 2 weeks in a row.
Now, they were down 24, weren't they?
Yeah. And one of those 24, seven of those 24 points came because he got hit when he was holding the ball and fumbled and they picked it up and ran the other way. Look, he's an okay quarterback. That's what he is. He's going to look good at times. He's going to look bad at times. Yelling at the media? Come on, Kirk. You're not Tom Brady. You're not somebody, Aaron Rodgers. You're not somebody who's been around for a while. String a few games together, and then you might be able to yell.
Falcons held off the Titans 10-7. Was that as ugly as it sounds? We were on the plane, Pete.
It was bad. And you know, Matt Ryan didn't play very well. And, you know, Mettenberger threw a bunch of interceptions, no Mariota. And when you looked at it, it was just a flat game for the Falcons. That's two in a row now for them. You know, they were bad on Thursday night against the Saints. Then coming back, they just didn't look very good.
What happened to Julio Jones?
I mean, he didn't get the ball that much. It's weird. It was a weird game. They looked really lifeless almost, the Falcons. Didn't look like them. And they almost can't help themselves from making the postseason considering their schedule the rest of the way. It's a joke. I think they have Carolina twice and Minnesota. That's the three games left with teams with winning records. But Jacksonville gets them, remember?
That's true. At the tail end of the season, like next to last week.
Tony will guarantee that one too?
I think he will. He's got a month or two to think about it. The Colts trailed 20-0 at halftime, lost to the Saints 27-21, and reports of a heated exchange in the locker room between Ursay and Grigson after the game.
You would expect the exchange to be between Grigson and Pagano. I mean, that's what's interesting about that to me is Grigson has clearly aligned himself with the owner. I mean, when I was up there in the summer, he was in the golf cart with him all the time and everything else. And for those two to get into it, that to me is very telling. Chuck Pagano is basically gone. I mean, barring a Super Bowl appearance, Chuck Pagano is gone. And the thinking was that Grigson would stay and get another coach. Well, this kind of thing opens up the possibility that Grigson and Pagano are both gone.
What was the argument about, Pete? Do you know?
No, nobody knows. And I would guess, just Jimmy Irsay, who, you know, it can be a loose cannon at times, was a little frustrated with the way things are going. And Grigson probably, you know, came back at him with something and, you know, they got into it.
Is it the right move to fire Chuck Pagano, though?
No.
He's a good football coach.
He is a good football coach. But, Tony, if you really look at it from Ursay's standpoint, though, you hired this guy to be a defensive coach, right? And you got luck. But you look at the defense, it's not very good.
Who have they drafted or brought in outside of Vontae Davis who can play defense?
Well, that's true. That's true. But also, some of that falls on the coach who's a defensive-minded guy, doesn't it? A little bit, I think. I like Chuck. I think, hey, Chuck will be one of those guys that lands on his feet and becomes a head coach somewhere.
Eric Berry had an interception. Alex Smith executed a late drive, and the Chiefs outlasted the Steelers 23-13.
Lesson there is, yeah, you might be able to make it a game or two without your quarterback, but you better get him back soon.
He'll be back this week.
Jones is awful. Yeah, he's coming back this week, and that's a mega game for the Steelers this week. They have the Bengals this week. That's a huge game. If the Bengals win that game, that division's essentially over. I mean, it is, because the Browns are terrible. The Ravens, if they lose tonight, will be done. And the Steelers will be, what, five games behind them with seven, eight to go.
Well, if the Ravens win tonight, they're still 3.5 or 4 games behind the Bengals. That's a lot to make up.
Yeah, it's a bad division. I mean, it's a bad situation. But if the Bengals win, and you know what that will be this week, guys? That'll be a show-me game for the Bengals. You know, every week we hear, oh, the Bengals are good, but wait till the postseason. Well, this is one of those games where you got to go show that you're a different team than you've been.
The Rams over the Browns 24-6. How good is Todd Gurley, Pete?
Well, Jeff Fisher has created the Tennessee Titans out there. You know, he's got Eddie George, Todd Gurley. He's got a defensive line that's
nasty. Todd Gurley's more explosive, though.
I agree. But you know what I mean. He's got this – he always wants to run the ball and play good defense, and that's what he's got. And you know what? They're in the wild card mix now, too. I just don't think Nick Foles is good enough. They get San Francisco this week at home, should win that game and get above 500. You know, the Rams will be a tough pain in the butt for everybody to play the rest of the way.
The Dolphins, we mentioned this earlier, led 41-0 at halftime over the Texans, 44-26 final. What the heck's going on in Houston?
Well, maybe something's going on with Dan Campbell. Maybe he's figuring it out. Play heavy metal, Metallica, Oklahoma
drills. Let's go.
No, Tony, you know what that is?
Podium. You know what it is? He's got the guys who are good football players playing hard, and that's part of being a coach.
Right, that's part of being a coach, but A, you're on the road your first game, fine. You got the Titans. They're not very good. Then you're at home, so it's emotion. Your first home game as an interim coach, got a lot of emotion there. And you got the Texans. They're not very good. We'll know more about Dan Campbell probably about 11:30 Thursday night when they go play the Patriots in New England.
Yeah, I guess so. By the way, Ryan Mallett missed the charter to Miami, had to fly commercial.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer's lucky he missed that because he would have been yanked at halftime. I mean, he was awful.
Awful. I'll tell you what, that Houston franchise, and I know they beat us, but not a lot to look forward to. They don't have a great salary cap situation. They don't have a quarterback. They're a guy they have a bunch of money wrapped up into, just looks like he tore his Achilles. Their defense, who has arguably the best player on that side of the ball, is awful. And I mean, it's almost like you need wholesale changes and you don't have the cap room to do it.
Yeah, and Clowney got a sack yesterday, actually did some good things. They got two. I mean, Clowney and Watt are good players. Vince Wilfork's a shell of himself. He's not any good. I mean, he played better against Jacksonville than he did at any point in the season. I don't think he's very good. And Cushing's a shell of himself. I mean, you're right, Tony. They got problems. Here's the deal. They should have drafted Bortles. People in Jacksonville ought to do cartwheels that they passed on Bortles to take Clowney.
Does Rick Smith make it? Does he survive?
No. Hell no.
Is Bill O'Brien tied
That's
to him?
That's the question. That's the question. Does Bill O'Brien get another year? Think about that. You could have, potentially, in that division, Gus isn't going to get it, but potential is there. Bill O'Brien, the potential is there. Ken Wisenhunt, the potential is there. And Chuck Pagano, the potential is there. All four coaches in that division, quite... not probable, but could get it. All of them.
Wow. Interesting. If you're betting, what would be?
Pagano's good as gone. That one's done.
Yeah.
I would think Gus will get another year. I would think that Wisenhunt, because he's got a rookie quarterback, will get another year. And I don't know about O'Brien, but it's only 2 years, so you would think he would get one more.
Patriots held off the Jets. Tom Brady got it done again. They're 6-0 and rolling.
How about the fact they only had 9 run plays, and then 2 of them weren't even called because they were scrambles by Brady?
Heaven. That was a heaven football game for me to watch. It was. You know what that was? That was a classic case of a team dictating tempo to a defense. If you go and play that Jets team, and you line up, and you say, I'm going to run against those 4 defensive linemen, You're not going to run the football, and you're going to lose the game. You're going to put your quarterback in bad passing situations. What they did is they dictated tempo, and they had them on their heels. And you know what, Tony? If Brandon LaFell hadn't – I think they dropped 10 passes, the Patriots, yesterday.
Wow.
He dropped 6, I think, in his first game back. They did whatever they wanted to do, throwing the ball. Tom Brady's fantastic. They caught him in – I mean, the touchdown to Gronk was just a classic overload blitz. They caught him in it, and, you know, they were waiting for that call, and they figured it out, and he hit him for an easy touchdown. They're good, and they're only going to get better.
Monday Night Football. The Baltimore Ravens at 1-5 meet the 4-2 Arizona Cardinals out in the desert. Is this a game tonight, Pete?
I don't think so. You know, the Ravens have been on the West Coast four times, if you count Denver, already this year. The first time they went out, they went to Denver and then went to Oakland, lost both, and they stayed out. Last week, they went to San Francisco, lost to that bad team, and then went home, and now they're back in Arizona, who's a good offensive team. I can't see that Baltimore defense stopping Arizona. I think Carson Palmer in the passing game lights it up tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Ravens are very good. I mean, what's their identity on offense? You know, they're not running the ball very well with Justin Forsett. Steve Smith, the wide receiver, is a very good player, but what else do they have?
But more than that, Tony, they're not very good on defense anymore.
I was going to get there, Pete, if you let me.
Oh, okay. I thought you were stopping.
No, I was going to the defense side of the ball. Secondary's not very good. They thought they were going to be better with all the guys coming back from injuries after last year. No Terrell Suggs hurts. They can't rush the passer like they once did. They're just not a very good football team.
That's tonight on Monday Night Football. The Jags are going to get it done against the bye week.
Yes.
Well, you know what? The bye week never wins. You always beat the bye week. That's an easy win. All that's right. An easy one. That's one of Tony's guarantees, by the way.
No, that'd be four in a row then. If I took the bye week into account.
You really convinced that they're going to win three games in a row?
Yeah, I mean, I do. Listen, the Jets is a tough game. I'm not going to – I mean, I think that's a good football team. And you just said, I mean, you got to be able to throw the ball against that, you know, against that defense to move it. And
well, I'm glad you made that guarantee because you know why? Even on a night when they won and you couldn't be Captain Sunshine – you've taken it to a new level and proven how much Captain Sunshine you really are.
Thank you, Pete.
Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
For Pete Briscoe, Tony Vaselli, manager of radio Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.